Hi, welcome to Don't Ask, I'll Tell, Memoirs of an Unexpected Soldier. All right, that's enough of that bullshit. Hello, welcome to Don't Ask, I'll Tell. I'm Lawrence Evans, and this is episode 2. Woo! It's June. Happy June. Did anybody see that musical Carousel? June is busting out all over the meadow and the... Nobody? Great. Good. Well, like you could say anything to me anyway. This is a podcast. Welcome to the world, Lawrence. A couple of things I realized from my last podcast episode. I learned a couple of things about myself. You see, in the Army, we have things called lessons learned, which I'm pretty sure is just taken from kindergarten, where you say, oh, what was the lesson we learned today? Or Sesame Street. But it's a good term, so I guess that's why the Army chose to use it. Anyway, my lessons learned from last episode was that I really don't know how to speak in a microphone with no one next to me. It's like speaking to you, even though I can't see you, it's like speaking to you, and I have to take it for granted that you're hearing this and that I can talk to you, and it's basically just like a lecture. Which is incredibly difficult for me, because I usually am so conversational and can bounce ideas back and forth off of someone else who's in the room. So I'm going to try and see if I can get more guests on, because I think that'll help out in the long run, help you out. Anyway, episode 2, awesome. Hua, as we say in the Army. This is interesting. Hua is our Army term. You know, the Marines have oorah, and the Navy has hooya, and the Air Force has something. And in the Army, it's hua. H-O-O-A-H. It's like a hua. It's like a manly, masculine call to arms, I guess. Or not call to arms, but it's just like a thing we say. But we say it for everything. It's like, how you doing today? Hua. Is that good or is that bad? I mean, when I first joined the Army and people are saying, how are you? And everyone says hua, I'm going, the hell are you saying? It's like, how's your morning? How was your day? Oh, hua. That's not an answer. That's just, yeah, you understand my question. Now, what's the answer? Anyway, so episode 2, hua. What I want to start off with is why I'm an unexpected soldier. I had some people ask me after listening to the episode. My friends were like, so you said you're an unexpected soldier, but why? Why are you an unexpected soldier? And for the people who know me, it's obvious. But for those of you who don't, I was never slated for the Army. It wasn't a dream of mine to join. It wasn't like on the back burner. It just came from nowhere. And when I started telling people that I was enlisting in the Army, they were like, are you okay? You know, like, are you on acid? Are you high? What's going on? Do you have a fever? Because that's how insane it was for them that I was joining the Army. Before I was in the Army, before I was a soldier, I lived in New York City. I was a drag queen, actor, producer, went to school for musical theater. But I was really unfulfilled, and that, you know, I wasn't very happy doing that. So I thought really hard about it, and I was like, well, how can I reclaim my happiness, reclaim what I can offer myself? And really, the answer was the Army. My grandfather was in the Army in the 1960s, and he was in the Army band. And I said, well, you know, if he was there and he doesn't have anything bad to say about it, well, why don't I see if I can join? So I did. I went down to the recruiting station on 125th and Malcolm X in Harlem, and they were great. They were like, yeah, you want to be in the band? Great. We'll contact the Army band liaison, and we'll get him down here. So that's where it all began. And the Army band liaison came down. But right from the start, the way Army does things is very different from the way civilians do things. And I had to relearn the hard way how things work in a very structured environment in the Army. For instance, they came down and they wanted to do an audition, right? The band liaison wanted to audition me to be a piano player. I'm in there as a piano player. I sing a lot, but officially I'm in the Army as a piano player, keyboard player. So He wanted to come down and audition me. I'm thinking, okay, fine. So you want to go to Ripley Greer or do you want to go to Pearl Studios? You know, where do you want to go? He wanted to audition me in Brooklyn at the MEPS station, which MEPS stands for Military Entry Processing Station. And that's where you go in and you, you know, make sure that you're fit for the Army and make sure you're fit for military service in general. So he wanted to go there. Fort Hamilton is a small base, and it's right on the right by the Verrazano Bridge across from Staten Island. South Brooklyn. Took me an hour and a half to get there on the A train. Was it the A? No, I think I had to switch to the R at some point. MEPS is funny, though. MEPS is where you get your physical done, and where you take the aptitude battery and where you take, give blood and just make sure, test everything, make sure everything's good. So before the physical, which they do at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to the recruiting station at like 4:45. I'm walking through Harlem on 125th Street, looking left and right because it's really early in the morning and I don't know what's creeping about. And I get to the recruiting station. They drive me down to the MEPS in South Brooklyn, and we're outside, and there's this drill sergeant-esque guy outside yelling at everybody, saying, "All right, we're about to take your physical. If you have any weapons or contraband, you will need to take it out, and we will not count it against you. You have 30 seconds to get this contraband out of your pant pockets and out of your backpacks and into this bin. If we find it in there, you will be arrested." And yeah, he's a bit harsh, but everyone listened. The funny thing was, I'm standing in line going, okay, great, this guy's extreme. But after he said that, take your contraband and take your weapons out, like 10 guys start taking out their Swiss Army knives, their Glocks, their this, their that, that they usually carry. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, what neighborhood do you live in? And don't ever let me live there, and please let me warn my friends. Second of all, I'm sorry that you had to grow up in that neighborhood. Third of all, why do you think it's okay to bring that to a military installation and you want to join the military? Come on, people. Come on. Leave the weapons home. It made me even worried that I had some sort of cuticle clippers on myself, on my person, that I had forgotten to take out of my pocket for some reason. But no, I was good. So anyway, that was funny. There's also the breathalyzer that you have to take, and you really have to blow into this thing and give it a good 1-2. Like, you have to get a really good breath and just... for like a minute, and you don't have any breath left, and they stand there and they say, more, you gotta breathe harder. I'm like, all right, dude, chill out. All right, so that's MEPS. And if you want to join, by the way, and if you have any questions about joining and you're nervous about MEPS or you're nervous about basic training, please email me. I have no problems emailing you back. You can email me, evanslawrence@me.com, or go to the website, don'taskilltell.com, and leave a comment or contact me. I have no problems with emailing you back, and I will do so promptly. If you really do want to join the military, I will help you succeed, because it is for some people. It's not for me. I'm getting out, but it is for some people, and I know about how to get in. So there you go. All right, Pride Month in Kansas. Pride Month in Kansas is like saying there's a great barbecue joint in Wisconsin. I'm sure you can find one, but you have to search for it. Actually, that's a really good analogy. Yeah, Pride stuff here in Kansas, I'm sure you can find it, but you have to go looking like hard for it. And I mean, there's a local university here in Manhattan. Yeah, I live near Manhattan, Kansas. They call it the Little Apple, for Christ's sakes. It is so taunting to me and sarcastic. And I'm coming from New York, and they tell me I'm stationed near Manhattan. And I'm going, are you serious? That's awesome. Yeah, Manhattan, Kansas. You motherfuckers. What kind of a sick joke is this? And yeah, it's a nice town, but don't call it the Little Apple. You're not. Anyways, there's this college in town. It's Kansas State University. And they do a gay pride parade. But guess when they do it? April. April when I'm used to doing gay pride events in June. Now, I know I went on the gay pride website, National Gay Pride, and there's events going on all year, basically. But June is kind of our month, right? June is our month. And it's a travesty to me that there's nothing around here that can sort of draw in from the surrounding areas and they can come celebrate their pride and being who they are and living where they are and just kind of come together and have a great time. By the way, there is a gay history museum. In my last episode, I was lamenting that there is no gay history museum that I'm aware of. And lo and behold, someone posted on my Facebook that, yes, there is. It is the museum, let's see, here it is, glbthistory.org. So it's the GLBT Historical Society Archives and Museum, which is where? It doesn't tell me where it is. About. San Francisco, California. There you go. So the museum is on 4127 18th Street, San Francisco, California, 94114. So if you want to go to a gay museum, a GLBT historical museum, which I think is great, you can find it in San Francisco. And when I move to California, I'm probably going to go see it. And then ask them what they're doing about a franchise as if it were a restaurant. So there's that. There's that. But around here, forget it. We've got a Wizard of Oz museum in Kansas, in Wamego, Kansas, which is about the closest thing you'll get to a gay museum in Kansas. But, you know, Gay Pride Museum, you can forget about it. Not now, not in this year. So this is why June is important to me, too. It's Gay Pride Month. But this time last month, a little bit later in the month, that was when gay marriage became legal across the United States. And that is what I'm very passionate about. I'm so passionate about that. And I want people to know about it. I want people to know how happy I am, how proud I am that that has happened and that it is possible for me. Am I in a relationship? No. Will I be someday? Absolutely. Do I want to get married? You bet your ass. And now I can because of that ruling. It's interesting and hard at the same time being the only gay soldier in your unit. In the Army band here, we've got about 40 people, 40 soldiers. And I'm one, the only one, the only gay one that I know of, sure, but the only out gay man in that unit. When we were overseas, it was especially trying. It was very hard for me because the other soldiers either were married, most of the other soldiers were married, had children or girlfriends or were straight. And I couldn't talk to them like I talked to my gay friends who were half a world away, different time zone. It was harder to call and connect with them. And I felt very isolated, very alone. And that was one of the hardest times of my life, being alone and having really no one to talk to. And of course, people would say, oh, you can talk to me. Oh, okay, yeah, you say that. You say I can talk to you. But then when I start talking about dicks and asses and you know, gay culture and gay history, and do you know what Stonewall is and the Stonewall riots, and they say they have no idea, then it's not talking. It's just a lecture. So it's nice to have people that you can talk to. And we really do take that for granted sometimes, I think. I do. I do it absolutely. Because when I have it, I keep it very close. What did save me over there was an organization called OutServe. OutServe is an organization focused on bringing gay soldiers and gay military personnel together. It is a military, or it's not a military organization as like it's paid for by the military, but it is spouses and gay soldiers who are in the military who have organized this organization. And we've got charters all over the world in different duty stations. And the one here just needs a little bit of a boost, I think. We've only been to one or two meetings, but there's been maybe two or three people there. And I'm going, well, what can we do? You know, can we make this better? Anyway, over in Kuwait, it was a great resource. I found out about it too late. I only had about a month and a half left, but I saw them as much as I could. We went out to the Starbucks. We all just went out and did stuff together and talked and had a little community. And that is so important, folks. It is so important to have a community. Don't lock yourself in your room. Do not be an agoraphobic if you don't have to. If you're not an agoraphobic, because there's life out there and there's things that you need to discover for yourself, about yourself, and for yourself. So anyway, right. Oh, yeah, and Gay Pride in Kansas, right? You have to search for it. If you don't believe me, in my other episode, I mentioned that on Tinder, I could swipe twice, and that was it, right? If you don't believe me and you think, oh, he's over-exaggerating, I tell you what, go to don'taskaltel.com, and I posted a video where I posted a video of my cell phone with the Tinder app open, and there was nobody. There wasn't even one. I just leave it open. I go around for a signal. I go around my room, and there's nothing. And it's still just a blinking screen with my face on it in uniform. That's it. That's it. There's nothing. Grindr, you'll have people on Grindr no matter where you go. All right? Because when it comes down to it, not just gays, but everyone is kind of looking for sex. If you're married, you're looking for sex with your wife. And, you know, if you're unfaithful, then you're looking for sex elsewhere. If you're single, you're looking for sex wherever you can safely get it, and sometimes not safely. I'm a stickler about safety. I'm kind of OCD, kind of a germaphobe. I used to be so bad, I had to check my lock 5 times, you know, check the stove, make sure that the stove top was cool by using my hand, which is so stupid. Like, who puts their hand on a stove, and if it was hot, you'd burn your hand off? I do. But at least it was, you know, at least I was checking. So I don't use Grindr a whole lot because I don't like to hook up with people just willy-nilly, you know, on the fly. Oh, you know, you're fine. Come on over. Let's have sex. First of all, I think it's gross. And I don't judge anybody who does it. I just can't do it because I think it's gross and I'm a germaphobe. Second of all, I don't like it because there's not really a connection. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of 28 going on ready to settle down because I just kind of want to find somebody who I really click with, really connect with, someone who makes me laugh, guy. And you can't find that on Grindr. So you have to just, you know, cycle through and come back every once in a while, see if there's any changes. But really, I don't open the app very much. I try and open Tinder, but there's nobody there. So that's that. Well, that's all I've got for today. I'm Lawrence Evans, and this is Don't Ask, I'll Tell. See you next time.